listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hello.
Time for the first Wednesday weekly showdown where we share our accumulation of knowledge from the week, the things we think have been overlooked, or the highlights, and a massive field of information from fakeologists and realologists alike. See if we can gain some ideas to move forward. Here with the beautiful dude missile, Garrus, Early Quaid, and Truth 34.
Awesome. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Truth 34. Let's grab a little intro of us.
Now recording.
Yeah, do it again.
Fuck. All right, we're beginning our first weekly Wednesday showdown, a sharing of resources amongst fakeologists that have been inundated with news from realologists and fakeologists alike all week, and want to share our highlights, the things we think have been overlooked, or just the best Akuma crop. I'm here with Beautiful Dude Missile, Truth 34, Rolly Quaid, and Garrus on the Fakeologist live stream.
Hello, hello. What's up, everybody?
Hello.
So, thank you for that intro, Opaz. I'm looking forward to hashing out some cool discussion topics today. This is an open forum, so anybody wants to jump in. We did spend a good 20 minutes kind of going over a couple of the key points we wanted to get across. The idea for this is we'll share sort of, you know, as Opaz had said, I'll just add a bit to that. We're going to share different interesting things we've come across for the week, give a little bit of context so people can have an idea of what we're talking about, share some of those research sources, and see if we can come to any type of synthesis of information or new conclusions along the way. And I know one of the topics that we were talking about was around solutions. And I know, I don't know if you want to start with that one, Ophalus. Feel free to throw out another option. I know you had a couple of really great topics.
Well, I think I just want to present my bullet list of highlights and let somebody else give theirs, or maybe we can talk about mine if anybody wants to, and then we can go to somebody else.
Yeah, let's go through yours one by one and give us all a chance to, toss it around a bit.
All right. So one of the biggest threats we're facing is the fear of our neighbors turning us in. Not our fear, well, also our fear, but the fear in the public to be the police force for the agenda we're facing. And I ran across my own home state, Oregon, doing quite an amusing thing where the Oregon state governor decided he was going to start opening up the state. And so the people of Portland decided that that didn't fit into their social policing mentality, and they threatened legal action against him if he continued on that path. So now Portland is a bit slowed down compared to the rest of the country sometimes.
Yeah, that's not surprising. I know
it's really not.
There does seem to be a bit of a upswell of resistance around this week, kind of culminating in May 1st. I had heard, I got that notification from John Rappaport, checked out his website, and he's talking about an organized nationwide protest. And it'll be interesting to see what type of turnout that that accomplishes. And that kind of brings up a topic that's sort of related to what you brought up, Ophalus. And that's kind of like, so as a fakeologist / skeptic / auto hoaxer, we have to be cognizant of the fact that anything that's organized on a large level has a very likely possibility of being co-opted through agent provocateurs and astroturfing and those sort of tactics. And that's always the stance I've had around protests and organized resistance in general, is that you're almost being used as a pawn for the planned sort of dialectic that they've created.
Only protests in America so far have been actual astroturfing on behalf of an agenda to make Trump look like he's instigating it. And they were just literally paid actors. And you can follow a train to a company that exists specifically to set up organized protests for any cause for the right amount of money. And that's the only protesting I've seen so far.
So this is like the right-wing George Soros operation?
I'm not familiar, but...
Oh, okay. He's like, you know, he's funded all the color revolutions across, like, the Middle East and so forth. And, yeah, just a lot of the SJW protests have a lot of, you know, they bus in people. And you always hear about it on the left, but of course they're doing it on the right as well.
The agenda of it was to shame the right, or shame Trump. I don't know where he even aligns anymore in the public eye.
It's
not like a left agenda to shame Trump supporters wanting to go back to work.
I figure that at this point, the people that are for Trump are already for him. That will not change, at least before the next election.
I'm a bigger fan of him than ever. As he's, as far as I see, the only person, only official in the world combating the WHO and science advisors and wanting people to stop being in the situation. I don't think he's aware that that's actually the right thing to do, and I don't still think he's an actor, it's just amazing.
I was just going to say, you should be careful, because, you know, you don't necessarily know, right? So you shouldn't necessarily... Like, I don't know. I kind of agree with you for the most part. Like, he really is. Just to give you a perspective, I come from a pretty liberal family.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Rick from Paul Macquarie. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
But I come from a pretty liberal family, so it's pretty anti-Trump rhetoric here. And I don't personally like the guy, really, but he is. You can't say he's not pretty much the only one speaking out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's speaking out, but he's not speaking out effectively, and he's not talking about the right things. So in my mind,
well, that's
the classic.
Thing. I think he might be like an attempt. Like, he's embodying the idea of a conspiracy theorist, to be used as a symbol of why the mass public should not be conspiracy theorists. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, I feel like he might be, there's like a really multi-layered play going on here, with specifically with Trump, I feel.
Well, that would be, 27,000 DHS, but...
Wait, what's that?
I was just being absurd. They say that Trump plays 5D chess. And so that everything he's
tricking
the other
thing. Yeah.
Trump does not play chess. He plays checkers.
That's right, Willie.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't respect him as a person. But the fact is, if he didn't oppose what's happening, I don't see why we wouldn't just be completely shut down. Completely. And I'm sure he has his own selfish motivations. It's just interesting.
Wait, actually, Willie, do you got something? Go.
I was gonna throw this out here. I wanted to hear you break it down for us, because you were going on the train.
Okay, so what I was gonna say is one interesting thing about the protests, the supposed people that are protesting the overall shutdown, is that you don't see, you know, the Q people there. You see a lot of Trump people, but you don't see the Q people. So to me, that kind of reinforces the idea that, you know, part of Trump's mystique and allure is that he does have things under control, and that, you know, that has a pacifying effect on at least a certain subset of more activist-minded people.
Isn't it amazing, though, Truth, if you have one guy standing outside the cardboard box sign of QAnon that represents the whole movement in itself, even the Daily Beast tried to report, oh, these guys are cropping up everywhere. We have a picture of one guy with a cardboard box. This is QAnon. Oh.
Yep. Good point.
The thing with Q is their mentality is to just trust Trump. They don't have to do anything. They just have to trust Trump to fix everything, which screams, you know, CIA disinfo to me.
Yeah, Trump is just, the false messiah to QAnon. That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And every single character that they lay out, like Julian Assange, is equivalent to John the Baptist in that group. And they make a false assessment about everything and everything with inside of what's going on. And you have to follow a very complex, very, very confusing sort of map book on a wall, and it takes like months to understand, and whatever you read on this map book is going to be your translation. It's kind of like the Bible.
Yeah, I mean,
let's not forget that every single little thing that happens that might be suspicious is going to be co-opted by the Qs too, right?
It's not going to be co-opted all by the Qs, but definitely it's an astroturf sort of.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's a better way to describe it. That's what I was trying to say.
But was it really a good movement to begin with? Was it really pure and innocent? Was it really just a guy trying to put truth out
there? Oh, wait, no. I'm not. Sorry. Maybe I said something wrong. I'm 100% against the Q nonsense. Don't get me wrong. Did I present otherwise?
No, I don't think otherwise.
I'm just clarifying because listeners tend to have a very wide ear when listening. I just want to make sure that we make our words more succinctly.
I think politicizing this in any way is a red flag. That's really not the way we're going to solve this problem. Unless Trump is literally sent by God, unless he literally is that, then he is not going to get us out of this situation. That's just my opinion, and I view him as a lifetime actor playing a role. So everything he's doing has a purpose that aligns with the script.
If you make yourself into high office, you're obviously taking the blood oath, and you're a member of the gang of the New World Order. Just by definition, if you ever get to climb to that ivory tower, you have done some horrible things and have bones inside of your closet. Stuff, irreprehensible stuff that no human being that's good and moral would ever do. Just given the current climate of like where you came from, New York City, you have to have sticky fingers just to make it into real estate, much less be the king of high rise.
Or, be born rich. That helps.
I mean, that's the beauty of capitalism here. You can just be an aggressive capitalist and actually be very successful without getting involved with any of these people. I still think he's a lifetime actor completely, but I would feign the possibility that he's not part of the satanic Luciferian child murdering organization that is everybody else.
So that's kind of making a nuanced argument that there are actual power factions in play, and that's, I don't know, that would be a hard position to defend just because they do seem to. What's that?
That's why I bring it up. I'm curious if anybody has a theory as to how his role as the opposition to the global shutdown as like the only opposer functions in their favor.
Would y'all rather Hillary win? I mean, I hear a bunch of complaining about Trump here, but would y'all rather Hillary?
I don't think it matters.
No, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. That's the point.
You don't think it matters? You think it would be the same with Hillary in office?
I really don't think it'd be that different. Honestly, the whole thing is kind of
I think we've been shut down immediately. We would have went UK style.
It would be worse with Hillary, but that wouldn't play into their ultimate agenda as well, because they still have to pacify the most radical, right-leaning element of the society, and Trump is perfectly set up to do that.
Yeah, it could just be that simple.
Yeah, see, the good thing is he's got a big fucking ego, and he doesn't want anybody to push him around.
What are you talking about?
Trump.
Okay, so we have a newcomer to the room. We have Red Lion. Red Lion, do you have any more thoughts? Maybe we could kind of dissect some of your theories you have.
Yeah, my theory was he wasn't supposed to become president. He just got that job because they fucked up.
So that would assume that voting is even legitimate. I mean, didn't we learn from Bush?
I don't think so. Right before that, I don't think that... There was ever any political official that was really elected, apart from the local level.
Oh, we all know that the voting is fake. Who fucked up? The Democratic Party, the people who were supposed to win, Hillary, all the fucking deep state ass.
So the Democrats put a Republican to power, is that what you're saying?
No, they didn't put him in power. They fucked up.
So you believe that voting's legitimate, it's not a scam?
If they would have kept Hillary, if they would have kept Bernie Sanders, instead of picking Hillary because she bought the whole party off, they would have won. But they got screwed over.
It still goes into voting being significant.
Yeah, I think we've established that he believes that voting is legitimate.
No, I understand it's illegitimate, but you get what I'm saying. There's a fine line between it being illegitimate and it being...
Being screwed over, is that a political science term?
they fucked up and something happened they didn't intend or want to happen, and I'm inclined to consider this position as well.
Okay, so I can kind of take what you're saying. So let's say the Diebold machines are controlled by a particular country, and that country had a falling out with a particular power faction and aligned with another power faction, then okay, I guess that could fit.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know.
We all know who that particular country is, right?
So I was just wondering if you don't mind me posing a question, a really small question to everyone. Have you guys been getting, wherever you are, have you guys been getting, like, emergency alert type thing?
I have not. Are you getting them?
Yeah, so basically, since the whole COVID thing started, there's been about four. And so, like, if you've never seen one of these things, basically what it does is it just sort of hijacks your phone for a certain amount of time, like a certain amount of seconds, and then it'll let you close it, I believe was how it worked. But basically, it's just been, like, doing these really invasive alerts of, like, COVID for one, the stay-at-home rules for one, as well as,
yes.
Like, the two shootings that were here the other day, and it...
Alleged.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying alleged.
Oh, allegedly, yeah.
You could call it...
I should have read it.
If you want to dance on the wire a little bit, like, just a little advice, you could say incident, and that's kind of a catch-all for everything else.
Okay, I'll try to do that. There's these alerts, and I started thinking about, does anybody remember the Hawaii missile scare?
Yeah, I remember that.
So here's kind of where my mind's at right now, if this whole thing, you know, people call, you know, some of the people on here use the term plandemic, right? And so if you're to assume that this thing was a plan, right, that was being initiated upon after having been sort of worked out for a long period of time, if this is a plan, then you would expect to see, like, you know, maybe stages of setting it up in the prior couple years, right? And I'm not saying this Hawaii thing.
People that we're considering it's not a plan. Anybody who doesn't acknowledge this is a plan.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be, like, maybe I'm being too polite.
We're on fake
olives. Yeah, okay. So what I'm saying is it's a plandemic, and so I don't think it would necessarily be – I'm not saying this Hawaii thing is, like, the Golden Grail or anything, but I am saying that it might be wise for us to look at stuff before the COVID thing too, right? Like just other strange happenings and large-scale events that seem suspicious in the time leading up to COVID, I think wouldn't be a bad route to go to, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, so you're saying they were kind of, like, improving their model by running some drills in different, like, isolated populations, like an island like Hawaii, perfect?
Yeah, so, like, you know, I guess, like, the question there presumably would be, you know, what happens if you have a giant mass of people stuck on an island and you tell them they're all going to die? You know, it seems like a pretty, I mean, they say, you know, the official story is that it was an accident, but, like, of course it was a quote-unquote accident, right?
So you want to just quickly recap what that incident was, just to bring everybody up to speed?
Please.
Okay, yeah, sure. So I don't remember the exact month it was or whatever, but it was about a year, half, 2 years ago. There was a big whole thing in Hawaii where the defense agency or whatever, I'm not American, but like the defense agency or whatever sent out an emergency alert to everyone in Hawaii, basically saying that there was a missile that was already on a collision course with the island, with the state. And then I think, you know, it just created a mass panic. I mean, you can still find the videos if you're curious, anyone who's listening. It's not hard to find, you know, videos of people giving what they think are their last sort of mark on the world in video form, right? And I bring it up because I was thinking about it because I remember when that happened. My sheeple mother, even she was like, I think they're testing people. That's basically what I'm talking about here. This Hawaii thing.
I also remember that happening, and also after it turned out to not be real, what I heard from people around me was also that it had to have been a test in case of a future event from, you know, North Korea.
Yeah, and we obviously they're, you know, we've seen them running simulations. What was that one in Texas from like 8 years ago or something? Maybe it wasn't that long ago, but it was like a Rolly, do you remember this one?
You talking about that storm that they had and whoever wanted financial aid had to set out a pledge to Israel?
No. That's probably just as relevant. I was talking about like this big military operation that they ran, and it was
Jade
like
Helm.
Thank you, Jade Helm, exactly. So that seemed to be like a precursor of some sort in terms of martial law operations. And then obviously Event 201 was a in-your-face simulation drill preparation. And that actually kind of segues me into one thing I wanted to throw out there. If you all are familiar with D. Murphy 25, YouTuber, flat earther, also pee drinker, before anybody throws that in my face, quite aware of that, to each their own, I suppose. But anyway, so D. Murphy 25, now that I've just discredited him, but no, he's got some good research, and he's got a big audience, and he was talking about...
And then it's not discrediting, he's doing the perfect fakeology thing, he's testing for himself.
So he's running what he's calling Event 202, and that would be a simulation of millions of people kind of meeting online. Probably not going to get to millions, but the idea is because in Event 201, they ran their simulation and then made it a reality. You know, D. Murphy is trying to bring everybody together online for a simulation where they can talk about different ways to actually resist effectively. So he's doing like a 3.5-hour roundtable. And we'll see where that leads, but I thought that was a cool idea, another take, a way to co-opt some of their tactics. And I think he's getting a lot of traction on Facebook. He's got a Facebook group, so anybody who wants to check that out, go to DMurphy25 YouTube. So that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, that was a really good trajectory from my topic to this topic to your topic. I like that.
Thank you.
All good insights from you. Things to look at in the future.
Could you say that Facebook link one more time for me and for viewers?
Yeah, so I don't have the Facebook link, but I will say if you go to DMurphy25, the YouTube channel, his most recent YouTube will link to the Facebook page. I can drop it in the live stream. Got it?
Appreciate it.
No problem.
Truth, I don't know if you were listening to Alex Jones when that whole Jade Helm thing started, you know, where... police were dressing up in ski masks and running drills at local malls over here in Minnesota. I actually saw a lot of those drills and stuff like that inside of my area. This is where mall culture started, right here in Minnesota.
Mall of America, right?
Yeah, the Dayton family. They got intermarried to the Rockefeller family, and they've been leading politics here in Minnesota ever since. But they also found a target and... they founded like various malls. The first mall was in Minnesota, over in Blaine, and then there was one in Rosedale. So we got the first two mega malls. The whole concept started in Minnesota. And a lot of the stores over here in Minnesota have been going out of business. You know, there's been an exodus of stores everywhere, and they ran drills everywhere. And when Sears was open, we used to have our DMV inside Sears. and they would run drills while Sears was still even open in the parking lot, was customers shopping, and they would have cones, and you would see guys with ski masks on. Oh, let's take the break.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
What more do you want tacked onto this? 9/11 was an inside job?
Was it?
Who cares? Global acts of terrorism happen every day.
All right, so we're back. I was talking about Jane Helb, which was in September 2015. It was 2 years after Sandy Hook. It was enough time for that to kind of sink in. Almost 3 years, actually, now I think about it. But Jane Helm was a big thing in Minnesota. It wasn't just in Texas. And I remember Alex Jones, who was just getting on the Trump horse, not fully on it yet. He was endorsing this thing as like a total takeover of the country, guerrilla warfare training, Jane Helm was. And he backtracked. He backpedaled on his position on Jane Helm, just like he did with Sandy Hook. He took the Jester defense, saying, oh, it was collective insanity, and I'm just a performance artist, and I really didn't mean what I said about Sandy Hook. He did the same thing he did with Jane Helm. He said that he saw the maps on the inside, but he was reading it upside down because he didn't have the ledger properly. Can you believe this for the drills of Jane Helm? It was just a big human error for Alex Jones about this takeover thing.
He probably got warned. He probably got warned. See the issues here with Alex Jones is there's always half truths in what he has to say, and I get it. He's a fear monger. He's out pushing fear while dropping certain nuggets of knowledge. But it's really clear that not all of the information is true. A good portion could be false, or a little portion could be false. It really just depends on which inside job we're talking about.
Chris, but if you say that he was warned and he changed his position, that's kind of giving him more credit than is due to that guy, because he's definitely a provocateur. So when viewing Alex Jones, he's like the guy in the neighborhood where there's been burglaries going on, and it's been happening in one particular neighborhood, and guys were standing on this cul-de-sac discussing, like, what's going on, why is it doing it. He's the guy who's saying, oh, last week, you'll never could believe this. He did it last week, you know, somewhere else, and confusing the conversation. That is exactly what Alex Jones does, and it's not necessarily that he was threatened to quit it. It was just he gave his orders and moved on to the next PSYOP.
Yeah, I think
I have a hard time believing that he would just instantly, like, end the entire story of Jade Helm, you know, completely.
Well, that's what he did.
Some not right about it.
I mean, that's what he did with Sandy Hook, right? So what's your take on that?
I'm just saying, like I previously said, they're all half-truths, okay? And then you can't just clean the slate and then go move on. I mean, that's something an actor would do, okay?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, that's our position.
Yeah, I don't believe anything Bill Hicks says.
come on now.
Sam Henson.
Now he's playing devil's advocate. Get out of here.
I really agree with Bill Hicks about Jones.
I'm open to the idea. I'm not saying that it's been proven or anything like that. Wouldn't surprise me.
I don't want to get associated with it. It would give a crazy stroke to my record. And plus, like, I haven't seen any actual evidence. It's just all been assumptions.
Yeah, I'll admit here, as a good friend of Rolly Quaid, I have seen Rolly Quaid dodge this particular question.
Because I'm a real ologist, that's why.
No, that's totally fair. I mean, if it's not proven, so we don't have to... focus on it.
Looking at the pictures side by side, though, and comparing facial features is quite compelling.
I've heard the jaw structure, too. Is that correct, O'Fallon?
Pretty much every facial gesture they both made, and you put side by side, it's interesting.
Drop it in what you got in the chat. I'll look at it. I'm hesitant to get on board with it unless there's some real proof. Some real concrete evidence.
What about, I mean, this isn't concrete evidence. This is more guilt by association. But it's, you know, his forget the guy's name, that the common connection, which is like the producer between Bill Hicks and Alex Jones, Kevin something maybe, I forget. But there's definitely a trail to follow.
Yeah, that adds credence to the theory, but it doesn't necessarily prove it, though.
Yeah, I'll put that on my list of things to gather, to share with that.
Somebody asked about John Lennon.
Yeah, same thing, right?
Do you think he was killed and replaced or just killed?
I mean, the guy actually has a name. You could look it up, and it seems like a different guy.
You're talking about Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney, that's what I mean. Yeah.
There was a Beatles like impersonation event they had in London, and there was a winner of that. That's the current Paul McCartney.
If anybody wants to look into that, I would suggest Sage of Quay. That guy's devoted like the last couple of years of his life kind of researching that topic.
Well, that one seems pretty open.
Sage of Quay, Quay.
That's uncomfortably close to my last name. I'm just kidding.
He's a good content all around.
Right.
What about when he goes on Brian Staveley's show? I got nothing against Brian Staveley, per se, other than the fact that he can get belligerent and he's into Mandela Effect, but we don't have to go down this path.
What was the root of, I walked away when you guys were talking about the falsehood in Texas, false alarm drill? From our drill.
Jade Helm. Rolly was telling us about Jade Helm, and essentially Alex Jones like disavowed it one day and just for one day it was the biggest conspiracy ever, and then he just kind of like stopped talking about it. Just suspicious.
That's what Alex Jones does. Classic disinfo things.
I was just saying that is questionable alone, an actor standpoint from it, like, very, very actor-esque.
Yeah, which, I mean, I consider him an actor. But I think we covered this topic, so let's go to a new bullet point from the week.
Not only do we consider him an actor, he said he was a performance artist. So we consider
he himself. Also said he was Bill Hicks.
He didn't ever say he was Bill Hicks. Come on, man.
On a call-in, he did, right?
He told, it's reported.
Facetiously, you could
post
say.
Post it in the chat. I want to see it, or didn't it?
I mean, I put my Bill Hicks argument thing together for you guys. This is more of an information share of topics. I'm not going to argue anything here on this Wednesday wisdom show.
Bro, this is the nicest we've ever been to each other on this live stream, man.
That's my intention. I want some nice sharing of ideas.
What a nice guy. Everybody give it up for a follow.
Oh, let's not do it. Does anybody want to give a topic?
No, let's go through yours, man. You had a couple other good ones.
All right. Well, another thing I discovered this week that is more than I can sort through in a week was Electric Universe Theory, which I found fascinating and so far kind of inarguable, which means I have to reevaluate like 10 years of physics study.
Phallus, if you could, because I've heard this this exact tag, like Electric Universe Theory, I've heard it a couple times in like the past couple weeks, but I haven't found any good like info dumps on it, if you know what I'm saying. So like, do you think you could give like me and you know the listeners like a really basic sort of rundown of what the idea is,
or link something? I swear I meant to work on that before the show. But I can recommend The Secular Heretic, and I can give the base principle that I think justifies the theory. And it fits into a couple of other things I'll follow up with. But they did a Sapphire Sun project this last year. I don't know exactly where they did it, but they did a conference about it in 2007 in Portland, which might be why Portland was familiar earlier to Truth. But what they did was they operated from a new assumption that instead of the sun being a giant nuclear fusion reactor, which is the foundation of our nuclear energy search for generations now, that hasn't really gone anywhere successfully. They worked from the assumption that it is an electric model that makes it a giant plasmid, which brings a whole other set of calculations into play, And what they did was they emulated it on a really small scale. And it was almost flawless, like what happens when you operate from a solid base premise. And I'll throw the link because I just have that right there because I'm reading it. So it's like 30 pages. But yeah, it's simple and it works. And the reason I think it's interesting, besides, you know, rewriting our assumptions of physics that have just gone down a metaphysical hole, is that it goes back into the whole agenda of disillusioning society and hiding information. And it's just quite a coincidence that this is finally being tested and used after being shamed for all this time. Just this year before, we're looking at, you know, a global enterprise of control. They're going to have a monopoly on a new, far more efficient energy source. And
wait, so is there like a organization that has actual standing amongst the controllers that is into this now? I might have missed that part.
I don't know. They developed it at a university, and they're in contract with some private businesses to start developing it in this upcoming year. So I'd pretty confidently say yes.
Which university again?
I don't know. I'd have to sort through a bunch of stuff.
Okay, because that's very common. That is how they release technology.
Yeah. It's just quite interesting that it's this year after
definitely
years of studying something that doesn't go anywhere. And it fits into the model of the powers that be hiding something so that we waste a lot of time and morale and money inefficiently.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, maybe 2020, the year of perfect vision, all the paradigms get shattered.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's looking like. We're also having to address, I mean, I don't know if everybody else is addressing it, but we're bringing virus theory into question severely now. Because even with the accepted model of viruses, our reaction to it is absurd. So I think it's going to lead to, I hope it leads to some sort of question. But there's a lot of scientific models that are coming to a head this year, and it's very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to go off topic of Electric Universe, but I do want to post into the live chat. There's a new ridiculous TikTok dancing nurse video. And this one is suspicious to me because...
They're all suspicious.
Right. I mean, this one could be a hoax. I mean, they're all hoaxes, but a double hoax.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're carrying around a body in this one, or, you know, maybe a nurse or something dressed up in a body bag or something, but...
Yeah, you can see the drugs in the bag.
Yeah, it's in the live stream chat.
But they just straight put a sign on it that said COVID-19.
Yeah, so do you think that's trolling? Trolling of the normie, not the normies, trolling somebody not actually part of the agenda trying to add fuel to the fire. It's hard to even verify where this TikTok originated from, but let's just say, for example, these are nurses in a hospital doing this. Like, what is it? What is the agenda behind these TikTok videos? And is it,
well,
to Ophalis's point, to shatter the paradigm of of the virus theory? They're like throwing in our faces now. That's just one idea.
I could see it as just taking a joke too far. I mean, they're stressed and bored and environments closed off from the world. And maybe it could have been a sincere effort to be a part of the dancing crowd and just, you know, forgetting that morbidity isn't comfortable for other people.
Did you see JLB's video that he posted where the dirty COVID cash? Unbelievable video. Everybody should check that out.
It looked like another nurse they were carrying.
Corvidus?
What did you say, Ophalis?
The video where he goes into how much he got paid for COVID deaths.
Yeah. But the fact that he picked a song that synced up so well with all their stupid dances. He got that on the first try. That's just awesome. But anyways, I think there is, I don't know that your explanation of Ophalis, while it seems reasonable on its face, I don't know that it actually, I don't know if I can buy that personally.
Yeah, I'm just giving my pussy human justification because I love my fellow man.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you what's happening here. My guess is that if this is a big drill, if this is a big operation, then each of these hospitals has somebody running it, and so everything's centralized, so they're all getting the same stupid choreographed instructions, and perhaps they, you know, even have somebody there to, hey, so this WHO representative has come in, and they're the official morale boosters, and our studies show that if you do this stupid dance, then your stress is relieved. You know, that's one angle, or they bring in a bunch of actors, and all right, all nurses are gone. Okay, cool. We've locked down this wing. All right, let's do our stupid dance.
Question is why?
I should watch the video from my local hospital to see if I can identify anybody.
It's a good idea. But they, you know, they all have their face masks, and so these guys have double face protection. Like, they have the face mask and glasses, or a double face mask. Like, they're going an extra step to hide identities here.
Right. Yes, which is against the law in most countries in Europe to cover your face in public places. But
my instinct is that this is a double fake, but maybe it is getting to that level of absurdity where like the normies will even accept this.
The video that you posted seems to have been shot in the part of the hospital that is reserved for children. If you look at the walls and everything, it looked like the kids unit.
Yeah, I was thinking of school, maybe, but definitely something kid-oriented.
So let's go back to the Electric Universe. There's a... You like that segue? Have you looked at the Thunderbolts project, Fallas?
I looked at it. I didn't read anything.
Yeah, they're, like, prolific. And I don't know if that's the... I don't know how credible that is, but if I just typed Electric Universe into YouTube, and that was literally the first hit. But I followed them for quite a while. They've got 170,000 subscribers. I'm sure they have a lot of interesting stuff. I don't know if their model is the right model or what. This is all relates to, like, so my initial, what pulled me into the truth scene or the alternative realm or whatever is actually free energy. And it's a little bit of a synchronicity for me. I'll give my story really quickly. I was watching the movie The Prestige back in 2005, and one of the cameo characters in it was actually Tesla, and I was super intrigued by this character. I'd never really heard of him before. Back in 2005, this was kind of before Tesla became a really popular, like, alternative character. This movie might have had something to do with the resurgence of that. But anyway, so I went down a rabbit trail. This is, like, you know, early internet days, not that early, but, you know, early enough where there's a lot of information around free energy, and there's a whole rabbit hole of free energy that I went down. But what makes it stinky for me...
It's been the holy grail of science for so long, right?
And I do think... So the whole philosophy behind free energy is, like, this concept of one of the major problems with our society is we have a scarcity mindset, and everything is built around that scarcity mindset, so that's why everybody has
scarcity hoax.
Yeah, scarcity hoax, exactly. So that's an interesting way to put it. I like that. I think there could be a scarcity hoax, because if free energy is a real thing, then you have an abundance paradigm, and it changes everything. You don't need the survival of the fittest mentality, and it really does cascade into, like, all aspects of life. Not saying that it's true or not, because I think there's a lot of...
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Okay, so we were talking about free energy. I was talking about how back in 2005 I went down a rabbit hole. And even back then, I knew there was, like, a lot of charlatans, a lot of BS, and a lot of just disinfo and whatnot. But what made it sinky for me was the fact that the actor who plays Tesla in the movie The Prestige is David Bowie. And if anybody's done sync research or anything along those lines, like, the amount of esoteric shit that character is involved in is notable. So, anyway, that's my little free energy tying it into Electric Universe spiel.
My favorite part is that you gave a justification for them pushing us down the wrong science rabbit hole, because it encourages the scarcity hoax if we're chasing that unsuccessfully, and then eventually they can bring it to us 80 years later.
Yep, exactly. Anybody have any thoughts on Electric Universe, or should we move on to a new topic?
I just brought it up because it was interesting. I look forward to being able to have better arguments for it, but as of now, it's just super interesting.
All right, I'll add a little something to it. So this kind of ties into Flat Earth as well. Like, if you look at Martin Leakey's model, his model is like a torus, and essentially, I can't even explain it well, but basically, the way, you know, the Earth, the dielectric pole of the Flat Earth is basically the center point between two toruses, and that's why the Earth's flat, or it's essentially a big torus, but what we perceive as flat. And I don't know if anybody wants to go down the Martin Leakey rabbit hole. There is a lot there. He wrote a book. Where was I going with that? Oh, it also ties into a lot of the reset mythology. A lot of content creators have done quote-unquote research or whatever into looking into how there seems to be this cyclical reset process, and it goes into plasma apocalypse is a kind of a term you can research if anybody cares to go down these rabbit holes. But I think a lot of it is crap, but you know, some people will interpret what we're going through now as part of this larger cyclical reset event, and maybe they're walking us down to prepare us for some type of inevitable Earth change or something. Not saying I advocate that, but it is an area that I've looked into.
I'll say Electric Universe supports the cyclical model. It absolutely does not support Flat Earth.
Right. Cool. Well, I'll say my piece on that. Do you got anything else on the list of thoughts, or I can look through my topics?
My last one is just announcing my Discord channel, which I hate self-promotion, but I'll go ahead and do that real quick. I've been interested in an agenda of proactive behavior. I know there's like 10 Discords sharing and talking about neo-fakery, and that's great. It's how I've gotten where I am, and it's amazing. But I wanted to make a place where people could select roles for continents and sub-roles for regions and states, and as close as you can get together to start knowing the people that are aware and care for the inevitable infrastructure breakdown of the internet and communication. I want to encourage people to find the people around them that they can work with and not lose those connections when it becomes too late. So I'm going to throw a link for that in the live stream chat, and hopefully I will throw it in the show notes. But yeah, it's just a local community building. It's not really about sharing fakery. I mean, you can do whatever you want, you know, in legions. My agenda there is specifically I'm going to gather resources and ideas that you can instigate in your community. They will be there. I have a resource page explaining current events, but I'm not doing any arguing on behalf of our cause. It's either you acknowledge what's happening and start looking for people around you, or I'm going to start figuring out what's happening and then come back. Hey, if you just want to find people around you that like gardening, that's cool too. But I think it's really important we start finding the people around us that are aware and willing to do something.
Yeah, I think that is an awesome idea. And I got your invite, so I'm in there too. I think it's definitely a needed resource. A couple things I want to point out is Discord may not always be there, so I would definitely recommend creating some type of email list. Perhaps even going further than that, I don't know. You know, if the internet goes down, a lot of people were saying how you won't even be able to make phone calls since it's all voice over IP. So I don't really know what the best way to stay in touch is in that.
No, 100%. Sense. That's why I want people to start doing it now. Get those local connections so that when Discord's gone, you already have the connections. That's the whole agenda there. Is I'm acknowledging it's going to be gone. I have a suggestions chat, which everybody is welcome to share any ideas and resources. And the first question I have is there a better platform for this? Because honestly, setting 1,000 roles for every location in the world is tedious as hell, but I am willing to do it if people are willing to come together. And I'll also throw a shout out to Beautiful Dude Missile for helping me build that Discord. He has left the chat. I don't know when that happened, but yeah, thanks to him.
Yeah, that's great. Great stuff. Another suggestion, just friendly suggestion, you've probably already thought about it. But networking with other groups of similar mindset, and I can throw a couple out there, but is that something that you're thinking about?
I know it's all going to be word of mouth. I don't plan to do any marketing. I'm going to keep my eye out. Like, I know some people in this Discord that care about doing something, and I'm going to give them the link, and I hope people just notice people that care to do something and give them the link, and that's about all I see doing. But yeah, I'm in a few Discords. If you want to throw me some more, I'll do my best to do a little self-promotion.
Okay, but yeah, no, I just think the...
It's for every individual. Like, people need to find the people around them that are going to be valuable in the times to come. And that doesn't benefit me. Like, I'm hoping I get people from my locale on there too, indirectly, and that goes somewhere. But it's just...
Yeah, I think that's awesome, man. I'm not knocking the idea by any means. All I'm saying is that if there are maybe a handful of other similar groups, at least... If there's a common place where we all know that those groups exist or something,
be great. Some other local generation group.
Yeah, so the Conscious Resistance, it's a community or whatever you want to call it, organized by Derek Bros. The Conscious Resistance is the name of his YouTube. He might even call this community something different, but it's a similar idea where it's real life connections, and it's like, even might have used an analogy to like the Underground Railroad or something like that, where it's like a series of places that you can go and know that there are people there that will help you and that have resources and shared resources and shared communication and community and all that good stuff. So just networking into those and just knowing that those other resources are out there too.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I didn't know about that at all. I did it because I didn't see it happening anywhere else. I'll check that out and see what I can do to combine the two, because I think...
And we actually have a Discord, or I shouldn't even say that, a member of the JLB site is actually... So Derek Bros is down in Mexico, and this gentleman is in Mexico too, and he's met him. So it's almost like a second, third-hand connection there. So, something to keep in mind.
Cool.
Another one, too, is Marcus Allen. I know there's been talk about that already on Fakeologist quite a bit. The one thing I want to clarify is everybody seems to be under the assumption that he's creating a country. That's not really the understanding that I had based upon looking at his material. I signed up for it. He, as far as I can tell, he seems to think there might be some type of loophole around the idea of creating a private club. And as long as you have a private club, then... like some of the restrictions around meeting up and doing whatever outside of the restrictions that they have in place, he seems to be suggesting that this private club idea will circumvent some of those obstacles. And his thing is called Project X, and it is a physical idea. It's not just a virtual idea, so it's eventually getting property, eventually creating sustainable options for people. So that's another one I'll throw out there. And then I have a third one, Michael Tellinger. So he's the guy who's into this concept of Ubuntu and contributionism as a society. It's an option for creating a society. And according to him, basically if people, his idea is to eliminate money. So I know that that's going to be a red flag for some people, and it's going to sound great for other people, but just keep an open mind about it, and the idea is that if everybody contributes just a couple hours a day at doing something, you can have abundance, back to that abundance principle or abundance hoax or scarcity hoax, and just cool, interesting way of looking at how to create a society, and he's actually actively trying to recruit like a town, like he wants to start with one town, basically, where you get like a sheriff or something who can get behind it, and I don't know. It's worth looking at. He's got a crap ton of followers. Not that that means anything, but he does have an audience. So
that is awesome. Thank you very much. I look forward to checking those out.
Awesome.
I've looked at Marcus Allen, and it's behind like a $5 weekly paywall, so I couldn't look into it much further. If you are willing or wanting to share any more about that, I'm super interested, because it's kind of, you described physical locations that have some loophole that lets them be separate from the rules governing the surrounding area, which sounded feasible, and I was super interested.
Yeah, definitely. We'll stay in touch about that, definitely.
Cool. All right, well, that's my whole list, and I've gotten great results from it, and following information, that is exactly what I wanted. Does anybody else have a bullet list from the week they want to go into?
Well, since you asked, we actually had a bunch of crossover in our bullet points. That's why I probably had so much material to offer. But let me just go through here real quick and see what else I got here. Great minds, man. So one concept is, I just like to kind of throw out there the best research we've come across around this corona crap, and just kind of lay out how I present it to normies. Not that I have good success or anything like that.
This is a great thing to talk about, how to build those interactions successfully. That's something I've also been trying to talk about and is really important because it's a psychological game. You can't come at these people as the enemy or you're going to make no progress whatsoever.
Yeah, and that actually leads me to the second part of this topic, and that's so over on the JLB Discord and or website and the TNG Technognosis Discord and website, highly recommend everybody check out both of those gentlemen. Amazing work. But there's been this ongoing conversation around the best way to approach an NPC, a non-player character. And there seems to be, to my understanding, sort of like a dialectic, which would be, do you approach them from a rational, logical perspective, or do you approach them from a more emotional and compassionate perspective? And everyone seems to have focused entirely too much on the logical and reasonable part, which is entirely ineffective. Which is interesting because it's like these are scientism lovers and blah, blah, blah. You'd think you could break through with, you know, dropping some knowledge, facts. But, you know, the cognitive dissonance or whatever, the, you know, resistance to accepting the reality, whatever it is that's preventing these people from having the spell broken, it seems, you know, emotion and compassion is a needs to be factored in. And I wouldn't say it has to be entirely emotional and compassionate. Is it, you know, again, it's not a dialectic. It's a continuum or whatever. So I would say keep in mind appealing to their compassion and emotion. And that's maybe an area that I have not effectively done. Ophalus, it sounds like you probably have a better approach to that.
I just see the void of it. You just can't ignore that.
What do you mean
Most of the efforts I see are just ignoring the fact that you have to have an amount of emotional appeal, and I know that's disgusting and sounds manipulative, and that's an issue I've dealt with my entire life as a person engaging people, is I hate having to emotionally appeal because I don't like being emotionally appealed to, but I'm not representative of the majority of the population. So yeah.
What are some
basic questions you could ask, you know, like I've been asking people, like, why are you wearing that mask, or how long are you going to wear that for?
Right.
And those are good examples. It's simple and it brings them into interaction comfortably.
Real, like, direct.
That's the main thing. You have to start at a simple enough level. It doesn't make them defensive and aggressive.
No. And with the mask, when I say, oh, how long are you going to wear that for? Sometimes, like, oh, I don't know, or when this thing's over, and then I can go from there. It gets them thinking, because otherwise, no one's asking. They're just doing what they're told on the news.
Yeah, exactly. And even if you just go to every person on the street and ask them that question and walk away, that's something.
Right.
It might feel futile, but it puts a seed, and that's what this is going to be. This is going to be a mountain of seeds.
Right.
You know what I think would be a good protest strategy would be taking, like, the absurdist approach to it. And in IPS, has referenced this before, too, where it's kind of like you're the first one to adopt other ridiculous things. But if you were to put that into a protest action, you could just, you know, like, I don't know, just say, thank you for stealing all of my rights. You know, the security is so much more important than my safety. Like, I can't wait for my child to grow up, like, not understanding what freedom is, and, you know what I mean? Get signs all about that, and practice your social distancing, stay 6 feet apart, wear your mask, but have that absurdist kind of drive the message home of how absurd their position is. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, like, well, if there's a simple, like, just one question you could ask, like, that's what, how long you're going to wear the mask, but if there's something you could do, like, are you missing your freedoms or something like that?
Yeah, I love the absurdism tactic. It just has to be social. And
how could they stop you from doing that, you know what I mean? Like, you're following the rules exactly. And you're saying what they want you to say.
That one's trickier to you know, say to someone out in public, like, first thing, you know. But the mask, it's pretty obvious because, you know, they're wearing it, so they obviously want to talk about it or, you know, they have a feeling about it.
Right.
A bunch of shirts that say, when do I get to take this off? While you wear, like, five masks on your head?
Yeah.
All right, this is going on my list of ideas. I like this.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, just yeah. Give me questions, and I could actually live stream it and ask people these things.
Yeah, dude. That would be awesome.
That would be fun.
I don't even know why I didn't even think about recording it, but I've been doing this since I've been having to wait in a line to go in the grocery store. I admit my frustration. I can't help it. It's like somebody in the church when the Holy Ghost takes over, and they're just ranting and chanting, like, why the fuck are we in this line right now, goddammit?
Yep.
Bullshit. This coronavirus doesn't even exist. These invisible monsters that they're talking about with the CDC, it's all bullshit. Your government is lying to you. I do that all the time.
Oh,
I'll crack
wow.
down the language a little bit just for the benefit of the viewers, but, man, I'll do that.
Would it be awesome to have, like, a booth that said, like, you know, coronavirus facts or whatever, and they come over and you have a discussion and you just drop truth on their heads and
you
just
have
record
to
it?
Charge them or they won't yeah. do it. Like, you have to charge, like, $1. Otherwise, yeah, you're a crazy person.
True 34, do you remember that Steven Crowder thing where he has, like, a billboard sign, kind of like a lemonade stand, and he would put a position and then put change my mind? I could put
yes,
coronavirus
exactly.
is a hoax, change my mind. And the onus is on you to prove that it's real. Not for me. No. The onus, the responsibility is put on the person that wears the mask.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hello, this is SMJ, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Yeah, I like that, Rolly. What I do think is that you'll become, you know, ostracized by or whatever. Like, it'll, you know what I mean? Like, you'll, and maybe that will draw people in.
They don't call me blackballed for nothing, man. They don't call me.
That takes
balls,
you
know where so. I got the name from. Well, let me tell you what blackballed is. Do you know what blackballed is?
Yeah.
Discredited to hell?
Well, in Freemasonry, whenever they want to accept somebody new to the lodge, they put a white ball in. But if any of the members put in a blackball, that means automatic dismissal and you can't join the order.
Oh, wow, really?
Cool.
Yeah, that's where the order
that's how it works.
Blackballed.
Red Lion, you made it sound so easy. It just takes one person to not like me? There's always one person that doesn't like me.
So I got that because, like, the bar scene where, like, I can't go any far because I don't know how to act. I've already been kicked out of every bar, so I got into live streaming because of that. I got nothing else to do. So that saying, like, you know, this guy has nothing to do. This is how he spends Friday nights. That's me, man.
Oh, yeah. I think that's, you know, that's a good approach, obviously. But there's, like, the other side of it, too, that might be worth trying is taking more like a obviously there's a fine line here because if you portray yourself as governmental in any way, like you're probably breaking some laws. I'm not advocating that whatsoever. But just say, like, you know, coronavirus facts, get your bailout fucking food, whatever, and you'll have like some cheap something to give them, whatever.
What I like is when you ask questions because it lets them think and then they could see how stupid they're being. Like the light turns on their head that they're being irrational.
You have to be ready for some people to get really angry and aggressive.
Well, that's why you ask. Just kind of you gotta try to think of some more questions here, but they're not too over the top. But also to get some thinking, and they'd be like, "Wow, I'm actually pretty stupid."
I the Socratic method attack big sexy.
Yeah, so the Socratic method. You're searching for the inner scholar, but you find their hidden NPC.
Mm-hmm. Get them thinking, and then they actually.
Get triggered.
Fine. They get triggered, but then it's their own doing.
Yeah.
But
if you record it, it'll get a lot of hits, too.
Is
right.
It possible for them to become a non-NPC in that particular moment? Is it possible?
Yeah.
I think it's like that movie Shutter Island where you got to let them go through their delusions.
Yeah, there's stages.
In order to get to reach that point if you, like, got
to... I haven't seen that movie.
Really, really a lot to think about in regards to, you know, breaking it all down for somebody, if possible, you know. It's not, you know, the likelihood of that is very small, but it does happen.
I think there's something to breaking this down into stages of awareness, like questioning and doubt and anger, like the stages of grief and stuff. Like we can, there's a probably very similar, and expecting people to just flip a switch and be aware is kind of ridiculous.
So you start out with denial and then you go through the emotions and end up with acceptance?
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't,
it's like being that proverbial draft stuck in quicksand. It's like, there's, it cannot, like, be happened to me. And then when his head sinks down almost to his head, it's like an acceptance. I don't know if I want to go that route because that's kind of like blackpilling somebody.
I've had another good one that I ask is I say, who's making you wear that?
Isn't there like six different things you go through before you come to the truth conclusion?
Yeah, and I was saying the Socratic method, like Truth 34 would say is better. I think Hambone's touching on that. Like,
yeah.
You keep asking the why, right, Hambone?
Yeah, it's exactly, and then it lets them come to the conclusion, but you're guiding them there.
Did you watch that movie, Shutter Island?
I know Leonardo's in it. That's about all I know.
So Leonardo is this detective, or at least he thinks he is, and he's investigating a missing person on an island, and what he really doesn't realize is he's one of the patients on the island. And all the psychiatrists are playing a role of allowing him to work out his psychosis.
Oh, yeah, it does sound familiar.
If anybody in the room hasn't seen it, go rent it, Shutter Island.
Yeah, that takes place in Massachusetts. That's crazy. The old Medfield State Hospital. Medfield, Massachusetts.
Is that your neck of the woods?
Oh, yeah, I'm up in Mass.
Did you see him filming it at all?
No, but I did see them filming... Leonardo filming The Departed. That was pretty cool. That was all through, like, South Boston.
Oh, yeah. That was there, too, man. I didn't even really put that together.
Yeah. So the approach I've been taking is more on the left brain logical side of things, because I guess that's where I operate mostly, sadly. But what I try to do, and maybe you can work this into your Socratic questioning, is... you know, first start off by just running the credibility of the CDC and the WHO. And I think the best way to do that from my perspective is the 2009 H1N1 swine flu virus. John Rappaport has done a lot of work around this. You know, he's been tracking virus hoaxes, I guess, since the AIDS HIV hoax. But Cheryl Atkinson is a CBS investigative reporter who did a expose-type investigation around the numbers that the CDC and the WHO were promoting during that 2009 epidemic. And long story short, they were saying numbers that, once she fact-checked them down to the state level, were orders of magnitude, exaggerated. So I'm talking like thousands as compared to millions, like really, really absurd. And it's all documented, and it's all sort of mainstream, so it's essentially something that a normie might be able to ingest more easily. So that would be to destroy their credit.
Argument for this exact position is, like, it's just so easy, like, they lied about swine flu, they lied about AIDS.
Yeah.
You can fact check this. The guy who discovered AIDS says it's not real.
Yeah, that was my next one, Carrie Mullis.
It's just so straightforward and obvious to us. That requires... so many steps by them to believe, because firstly, it's not going to believe you, and they're not going to fact check it, and it's just, it doesn't really go anywhere unless you can get them to a point where they will look into that. So that would be like a later step in the process of awareness.
I would say enough to even
consider that.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the type of person you're talking to. I think everybody is probably going to have their own unique way to approach it. But if you're talking to somebody maybe who's like a right-leaning libertarian type who's already suspicious of government, like that would be a good way to start off, is just say, you know, this global governance organization has been lying to us from day one, and here's like a perfect example that you can easily fact check right now on your phone that will take 5 seconds, you know?
Yeah, they're perfect examples. Just absolutely perfect examples.
Well, and then you say, what makes you think they're telling the truth about this one?
Yep.
This is not different.
And then stage two, once you've destroyed the credibility of the global governance organization, stage two is destroy the credibility of the test itself, right? Because if you destroy that, then the model is senseless, and all of the actions that preceded or that followed the model are also ridiculous. And I think Carrie Mullis, the inventor of the PCR test, who won a Nobel Prize, you can appeal to their normie tendencies and throw the Nobel Prize in their face if you want to. It's an appeal to authority. It's not perfect logic, but we're not dealing in a perfectly logical scenario here. But I like that take. Yeah. David Crowe's Infectious Myths book. Nobody's going to read 45 pages or whatever, but that's an excellent resource. And if everybody just kind of takes some of the talking points with the confidence that it's backed up by references, I think that's a really, it's like one of the best resources I've found. And then Dr. Andrew Kaufman, he's been making the rounds. And then the last one I'll mention is this book called What Really Makes You Ill, and that's kind of questioning the germ theory paradigm. But there are these two authors. Where did they go? I had them pulled up here. Whatever. I can't find it. But that's the name of the book, What Really Makes You Ill. And they've been making the rounds on like the Higher Side chat, and Dr. Kaufman has interviewed them recently. He published a interview 2 days ago. Oh, Don and David. That's their first names. You're familiar with
that video? Yeah, it was going around. It got pulled off YouTube. They're from Bakersfield, California.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so they've done
some great interviews. There's tons of people making amazing content. There's so much good content out there. Mm-hmm. If you can just get somebody questioning, the very quick snowball effect.
Oh, and I'll
getting them to be willing to hear information. That's the hard part.
Right. I mean, that's how it worked for you, right? You got kind of the door open through that, what was that song? Shit.
I don't know the name was, but it's the 15-minute Bob Dylan song released.
Bob Dylan. Talked.
But the thing is, I'm not the example of most people. Like, all I needed was an excuse to go look at this stuff, which was being unemployed and a reason to be intrigued. I've seen one trigger of any sort to just ask a question, and then it was a giant snowball.
Right. And so tying back into the PCR test, one of the pieces of news that's kind of been getting some play in the media this past week has been this idea that you can be reinfected by the coronavirus, so that, you know, that immunity or whatever isn't possible. And I think it's easily explainable. Not saying that this is going to help win anybody over, but it's easily explainable just due to the nature of the PCR test and how it is not a binary test. It's not a yes or no, you know, infected, not infected test. It's a series of cycles that they run an RNA sample through to replicate it at
a gradient.
Mass. Yeah, exactly. It's a gradient. So essentially, since there's no standard of what that gradient is in terms of numbers of cycles to detect whatever bullshit they're trying to detect, since that is left open to different countries, different organizations, different laboratories, and so forth, that is easily why somebody could go from infected to uninfected, back to infected, like a billion times, because it's, you know, it's a test that's inherently designed that way, and it doesn't have a gold standard to back it up, meaning...
Well, that's a good way to finish that thought.
Okay, yeah, just the gold standard idea is that in order to even prove that a test is detecting anything, it needs to be compared against something that is the gold standard. Usually that's done by isolating the pathogen that you're trying to test for so that you can, test a presumably infected person, they test positive, then you take a sample, then you isolate the pathogen and you compare it to the other pathogen that you isolated, and you say, okay, then we know that positive test is correct because we have a gold standard to compare it to. But because coronavirus or no virus has ever been isolated in a laboratory or anywhere, they've never been able to devise a gold standard. So no test is credible.
Well, that's a good starting point. You could ask, or let people know, ask them, hey, did you know it's not binary? It's actually a gradient test.
Yeah.
I think most people are under the impression that, oh, it's positive or negative or yes or no, and they don't know all the stuff that goes along with that.
I mean, they only know what they've been told by the news.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are positive. True 34, that was a fantastic bomb of things.
Thanks, man. I don't know if I'll have anything left over for next week.
I mean, I think it gives us a good direction to go for next week. We've talked about it a lot. I think thinking about these methods of addressing people and the stages of awareness and questions to ask is a great topic to bring to the table next week. And then we can send Rolly Quaid out.
Guys,
this happening.
Truth, I got something to say about your last statement. You're going to have to say this a couple times for people to sink in, so don't feel like you just ran out of material. People might not get it the first time.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
That's what radio show hosts do. They're not afraid to repeat themselves, right?
Or interrupt
each other.
See, my thing, too, is that I'm so interested in so many things that after, 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about the weirdest shit you can imagine. I don't know if that's going to appeal to everybody, but we can just continue repeating the core principles if you want.
I mean, we'll see where it actually goes. It's about just what do we learn through the week and where do we go from here, which so far I've found this incredibly productive. I mean, yeah, I'm going to go try and get some evidence for the Bill Hicks. There's also a lot of good stuff here.
Yeah, I'll throw a little teaser. So I had an idea I wanted to explore today, but I think I want to wrap this up kind of soon. I think this is a great first episode. But one of the things I'll bring to the table next week is this idea of so IPS, Infinite Plane Society. I'm a supporter of his. I really like what he does, but I do disagree with him on a lot of things. And he has this concept of guardrails, which would be disinformation campaigns meant to essentially create a limited hangout. So, for example,
like a gatekeeper.
Yep, like a gatekeeper. So, and he a couple of big kind of conspiracy tropes that he consistently attacks, or kind of he puts it more in a position of I think this is a psyop that you've all fallen for. Prove me wrong. And you know, I appreciate that stance. But the big three that I'm interested in exploring is 5G. And no, I'm not talking about 5G in conjunction with the coronavirus, but happy to talk about that because I think it needs to be, you know, I think there's nuance to all of these topics, I guess is one of my points as well. You can't just say because we've proven that there's disinformation agents involved in any of these topics that therefore they're discredited because that would be every topic.
Yeah, I want to absolutely abolish these binary trains of thought. There's nuance to everything. There's truth in every lie. And
exactly.
I also want to talk about 5G. I've done a lot of research and argument on it immensely fruitlessly, even though I feel like it's as simple as just saying, look at swine flu and AIDS being just no basis.
Yeah. So the big three I want to talk about next week are 5G, vaccines, and chemtrails. And my goal from this, because those are the big three that he talks about, is I want to crowdsource some good data from you guys, good research sources, and what I'll do is I'll call into IPS and we'll have a nice long conversation because I'm a supporter of his and he won't, you know, I've talked to him a few times and we've had great conversations and he's intellectually honest in that regard. So I think that would be something cool and then I'll shout out this podcast, give you guys a bunch of props as well.
Can you give me something more to go on than IPS because I'm not familiar with them and I feel like I should search IPS.
Yeah.
What's the IPS? Like, what was his name? Like, full name?
Tim Osman.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. I've seen that stuff. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, yeah, that's my teaser for next week. Great show, everybody. I don't mean to end it or anything, so if anybody wants to shout anything else out, go for it.
Does anybody else have any bullet points from the week they want to address? Otherwise, yeah, I'm on the same page. I want to keep this concise and on the agenda of being the best we've dealt with and keep it to that.
Sounds good.
All right, I'm going to do some harassment here. And 334 brought some stuff. I hope more of you bring some stuff next week. And to reiterate, our topics are going to be the stages of awareness, 5G, vaccines, 334 through chemtrails. I'm intrigued.
Hey, guys, just to reiterate, tell the audience exactly the day and time we're coming back.
This is going to be the weekly Wednesday, 8 p.m. EST showdown. That's Eastern Standard Time. I believe it is, what is it in Europe? What's this? Noon? Noon?
You don't have to do that, all that.
Okay. Fuck me.
Forget you.
You just have to say, like, a general time and, like, day that you do it. And you gave the standard time for it, so good.
8 p.m. Eastern Time, that's like 4 p.m.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
We accept the reality of the world with which we're presented. It's as simple as that.
Oh, it's 5 p.m. Pacific Time. What are you doing?
5 p.m. Sorry.
All right, reiterate. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesdays, weekly showdown, bring your best.
And one last comment, too, is shout-out to Ab. Thank you for the platform. This is awesome, and I think we all got a lot out of this. And thank you, Ophalus. Thank you, Hambone, Roly, and beautiful dude, Missile. He jumped off, but good stuff, everybody.
Awesome.
That's all, folks.